This episode of AetherStream is brought to you by Aetherflow Media. We would not be able to create content like this without the support of our amazing patrons.
Welcome to AetherStream, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Telp and Croatoan. But before we started on a comfy, cozy stroll through the things we're excited for in the upcoming patches for Shadowbringers, I know, everybody's really excited and ever bouncy, and I'm going to bring the mood down. I'm so sorry, guys. I'd like to take a minute to make a public announcement for everyone. There is currently a phishing scam hitting Final Fantasy XIV users and their free companies, and it's making the rounds at least on the North American servers. So, you know, be vigilant. The scammers have so far DM'd people to used other chat channels in the game under the guise of a 750 million gil giveaway to then link them or get them directed to a YouTube video with a pinned comment that has a link in it. That in turn directs to a fake login page for the Final Fantasy XIV forums. So they use that login information and they steal it. They use it to get into your account and proceed to clean out your character and your free company chest if they are able. So if you are the appropriate rank in your free company, they will be able to do it. If not, we don't know if this works with two-factor authentication enabled, but it might. So stay safe all the same. Please be wary of any suspicious giveaways and links, and do not ever input your login information on pages you are not sure of. Thanks for listening.
Hey.
Now we can be happy again.
Yeah. As I have two dogs trying to do WWE stuff behind me.
Oh, pay-per-view.
I did not sign up for Lord of Verminions. Please make this stop.
Okay, look, but we like Lord of Verminion. You're just doing it in real life. It means you don't have to go to the Gold Saucer and do your daily because you did it already.
The problem is I put all the toys away, and as you just heard the squeak, they found my stash.
They found your stash, man. The call the cops.
Dear God, help me.
So, Patch.
Okay, I got the toy. Anyways, hi, Patch.
Let's talk about the live letter. Yes.
Yeah, so many. Okay, so Enki hasn't seen the trailer.
I have not.
I'm sorry, there's a dog drinking right now.
Nem, 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 nem. What's got that sweet ASMR stuff going on right now?
The problem is the water is 10 feet away from me. Anyways.
We an ASMR channel, guys.
Yes.
Like, that's it. No more Final Fantasy 14, just ASMR.
Do not do that. Anyways, so Enki gets to bless us with a live reaction of the trailer.
This is either going to be really good or really bad. I've been told I'm not going to cry, but that I might get angry.
You're going to get very angry, especially after I point out the thing.
Okay, let's watch this, shall we?
I'm even watching it too, just to kind of have a refresher of it.
Oh, there's a what, Crimson Weapon? No, I've got the name
Ruby
wrong.
Ruby Weapon.
Ruby Weapon. Oh, he a big dude.
Yeah, he big. He's thick.
Oh, is somebody piloting him?
Yes.
Do we get mechs now? Give me that. Give me that. Oh, we're going to go Gundam up in this.
We're going to go Neon Genesis.
Oh, look, Evangelion. I told you about not mentioning that. Also, that. Oh, I don't like that. Spikes coming out of the floor. That is a no. Oh, hey, guys. Sup, fam? Oh, no. All of that looks painful.
Right?
Ow. Absolutely not.
And like...
Oh, hey, you're stolen.
There's one thing I have to point out, and I'm pretty sure Kuroa can maybe vouch for me on this when it comes up, when we talk about it.
Oh, but like, you know, crop and stuff.
Yep. Like rocket launchers.
Oh, them heels, though. Girl, give me those. Oh, guy is fabulous.
Right?
Birds, though.
By the way, Kuroa, on that...
Danny, it's Ramu. Yes! Oh, there's Garuda and Titan, I suppose. Okay. Oh, no. Why are they together? I don't like that. Oh, hey, there's the dude from the tank quest.
Like, the best way I can describe this, and, like, I'm excited for this trailer. How about you, Kuroa?
I mean, it's pretty exciting.
Yes. Like, there's so much going on in the trailer, and I know quite a few people have actually done, like, a trailer breakdown.
There's Stola throwing out her foreshadowing and crap again.
Yep. There is one thing in the trailer that I have to point out that I don't know if anybody else has noticed other than maybe Mr. Happy. And by the way, yes, hi, Mr. Happy. We know who you are.
Sid, why are you coughing up blood? I don't like that. Oh, hi, Zenos. What? Yep. Wait, why are you there? Go home, Zenos.
There is, like, so much questions. By the way, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep quiet about this because we're going to go over all this.
Why are they throwing the moon at us again?
Why not?
What do you mean, why not? It went poorly the first time. What is going on? Why? Why is Adva evil now? I don't... No.
Okay. So... So going back to the very beginning of the trailer and whatnot, we're like, we're obviously fighting a weapon, and it's just like Ultima Weapon. I'm sorry, I had to point out the Neon Genesis Evangelion reference.
I'm still upset. I will never forgive you.
I'm so sorry.
I did not expect it to be a mech, though. Like,
well, it's weird. In a way, it is an organic being. Crow has probably got some information, at least off of, like, the Ultima Weapon, and not Omega, because Omega's not the same in this world. But, like, it is a mixture between mecha and organic, right, Okroa?
So, as far as we know, the Ruby weapon is definitely Magitek, but we don't know at what level. It was in near, like, the latter half of Stormblood that we started to see more synthetic muscle being introduced into the ranks of the Magitek, and that's where we got, like, the Magna Rotor and the Inferno boss at the end of Castrum Abania. So it's suggested that the Ruby weapon is kind of like the apex of that research, but that's speculation. It's just
creepy because of the teeth. Oh,
yeah, that's lots of Resident Evil vibes from that.
Yes. And, like, yeah. I mean, obviously you have your takeoff sequence, which is a reference to Gundam. And, you know, I mean, come on, it's pretty epic.
Right. The bit I didn't hear was about that scene with your stole or whatever. She's looking at some painting or whatever. Can somebody explain that to me?
So, as far as we understand, they're still on the mission to try to get themselves back to the source.
Right.
And from just the trailer, it looks like that they go to something Ronkin, at least like a Ronkin ruin of some sort, and it's supposed to give them clues on their ongoing soul research that they were working on. So, because they're currently trying to find a way back home. So I think that's gonna basically give them some more basic material to work with. But as far as what they were looking at as murals, no idea. No one knows who those figures are.
And well, there's a mosaic that shows up that looks a lot like Heidelin, and I'm assuming that's from the same place, just going off the style of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is one thing I do have to point out in the one where it shows basically the falling stars. That is a Vera figure that's in the painting holding the staff.
Okay. So it's a bunny wabbit.
Yep. It's a bunny wabbit. Like, it took me a second to register that those are ears and not second hands. I'm like, why is the second part of the body headless? But
too many hands.
Yeah. It's ears. And
imagine how well you could raid with that many.
Can you imagine the job changes?
Oh my god. It's just like, if you have this many hands, you're too OP and you can't play this game.
Yeah. You see it briefly, and like as Crow says, it is in the Ronco ruins somewhere, maybe. Or at least it may be in, like, the undersea area as well. We're not sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish in this video.
Yes. Only reason why I'm kind of standing on Crow's side at the Ronka ruins is that there is a lot of mushrooms in there. Like,
when there's glowy mushrooms. Like, no, I completely agree, because, like, the style is distinctly Ronkan. Like, they've gone with that Aztec Mesoamerican vibe, so it has to be the same thing. Mm-hmm. Plus, the Viera NPCs are actually there with them, so I'm assuming it's something to do with Ronka.
How far back does the Vira go there, Croa?
As far as Ronka, the current village of Fano, they're the descendants of the original Emperor Guard. And the thing is, Vieira can live for a very long time, at least upwards to about 200 years or more.
Right.
So, if by those numbers, we can assume that the current Vieira... Well, I keep saying Vieira. Why am I saying Vieira? It's the Vise.
You could blame Tilp on this one.
No, you're good. I should have... I was just going with it. No, the Vise, current members of the Vise that live in Fano are probably, like, grandchildren of the original guard, if not, like... Because a lot of them even remember their original duty, so it's implied that they're very, very old, that they've been around for a very long time. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're like...
100 years, I think, is what one of them says at one point. She's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I've been around 100 years, and I've never seen this crap.
Yeah, one of them was like, they could live easily live three times the life of an elf, and elves live to be around human age, so we're like 80 to 100, so
we're up
300 or so. But they like to keep it, they're very tight-lipped about how old they are. No, none of them revealed how old they are, so.
So what you're saying is Arya from the staff is probably like 200 years old, but yet still looks like she's 20?
Mm-hmm. That is a special racial trait of the Vieira / Vise. They live for very long periods of time.
Sorry, Arya, I didn't mean to point that out.
But yeah, they might know who that mage is or whoever is in those murals.
Right.
Okay. And like, you know, compared to Final Fantasy XI, like Tarataros, aka Lalafels, are the ones that used to live older or be the oldest without aging.
The fantasy stereotype is usually that the elves live the longest, and I like that they've turned that on its head. It's just like, nah, mm-hmm. You get to live the same as everyone else. Sorry, fam.
Lalafels can live for a pretty long time, too. Black Mage guy, he was around for 120 years, pretty sure.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, when he introduces himself, he's already 120, so.
Dang. He wise. But like, you know, it's part of the main story. Obviously, we get to use our trusts in the dungeon, which I'm assuming.
Yeah, they have said it will be a trust dungeon, which is nice.
Okay. The one thing I want to point out, and I don't know if, like I said, I don't know if anybody else has pointed this out, but... In one of the cutscenes, you see Cid there basically like attacked and like on his last legs. The thing that kind of took me by surprise was that you and the rest of everybody that is on the first teleport right next to him. And like, for those that are wondering, the timestamp in the video is, I'm trying to find that here. It was one of those that caught me by surprise because, like, and it's at 2:24. It's like you just see everybody appear and then you whip out your sword and you guys are basically ready to attack. And it's one of those moments of like, obviously, we figured out how to get back to the first, or Cid just got dragged to, or sorry, got back from the first, or Cid just magically ended up in limbo with us.
Judging by the scenery, I don't know about that. I'm so assuming
if you do look really closely, Makoto is standing next to him as well.
Right, from the Ebony's raids.
Yeah, Makoto is also on the source, so I imagine they're implying that the rest of the party transferred from the first to the source to defend them.
So they can get back.
Like I said, the thing that's very surprising is Rin is there. That's what caught me off guard.
Yeah, we have no idea what that implies other than they found a way to get back, I suppose. So we'll see how exactly that plays out.
They did say they were working on it because they didn't want to lock off the worlds from each other necessarily. So, yeah, if we got some Stargate shenanigans going on, I'm okay with it.
Woo! But like I'm just curious because like is this like one of the traits that she inherited from Minfilia? Because, you know, Minfilia took the Warriors of Darkness of 3.X series and took him back to the first. But yet at that point in time, she was just nothing but Aether in a form. So I'm wondering if this is one of those traits or if they found a legit way to bring Rin back to the source.
I'm imagining it's something to do with the Echo because, of course, you see Xenos with the Amarotine. You see him there. He's walking among them. It's like, okay, what's he doing there other than nothing good? Because nothing good ever comes of anything Xenos does.
And like one of the rumors I heard going around was that Xenos found the Emirates of the Source. And I don't know if you stand by that, Kroa, or not.
I would if they didn't already explain that the reason why Amarant is so well preserved on the first is because there was no calamities. They say that the reason why they hadn't found anything similar on the source was because there were so many calamities that had taken place up to the point that they've been around that there would be very little remaining of Amarant's replica on the source.
Wow.
So, that's and they mentioned that, so I think Yish Tola mentions it. So that's why I'd imagine it couldn't be that in as intact as we see it in the trailer. If for it to be the source, it would have to be a lot more ruinous.
Right, so, and seeing the Amarotine there, that implies that this is another illusion.
Yeah,
maybe?
It's still part of Emmett Selk's creation. So,
and Emmett Selk's creation, like you know, it's on the first. So that's implying that. I think it's implying that we're bridging the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other thing I want to point out, sorry, my voice got crackly there, is that as you're seeing all that, and of course, Cid is on the source, you also have what looks to be Dalamud coming from the sky.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And it's coming crashing down. So I'm wondering if this is like one of the... because didn't they hint that there was something special that was going to be in here, but they weren't going to talk about it yet?
Like a second trial that they haven't?
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't disclosed what it is yet.
And I'm wondering if that may be tied to it, not necessarily what it is, but tied to it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And wondering if it's part of the story, and that's like the last page of that chapter.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So we... the fact that they are planning on introducing the Bajja Citadel as a region.
Right.
That's originally the first place that Dalamud destroyed in its history. That's where it was first activated, and that's where Cid's dad was killed. So I feel like either we are experiencing some sort of like really strong Echo Vision and going back into the past and having to deal with that, or... that has something to do with Bajja. Is going to be explained why we're facing Dalamud. It's all sorts of goodiness. Like, we have no context as to why Dalamud's being featured, if at all, aside from Bajja's being mentioned. Bajja's where Dalamud first struck, so we'll see if that has anything to do with it.
And it does look like the moon is coming down over a castrum. And we don't have any castrums on the first. We only have them on the source. Unless Xenos is all like, hey, I'm here now. I'm going to build one.
Yeah, I highly doubt that he'll be that productive.
No, he's too busy. No, that's true. Because he's too busy murdering stuff. Like, that's his MO. He can't murder stuff if he's building a house, you know?
Yeah. And, like, oh God, there's just so much to go over in this.
Just the trailer alone. We haven't even gotten into like the live letter yet.
I know. And like, I guess another part, obviously we see Ardbert's body walking in the Crystarium. That is the Crystarium, right?
Go home. Yeah. He's in the Crystarium. It's like, hey, you weren't invited.
And then like we see him also kind of like in the Ronka ruins. I'm curious if this is not necessarily Elidibus or another Assassin, but as Kroa guessed or theorized in the last one, like another, what am I trying to say here?
Was like one of the baby ones. It's an Assassin, yeah. But it's a It's a baby one. Using
Argert's body.
Yes.
Dead, I can inhabit you for a while.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or my thought on it was like maybe the 13th reflection of our character's soul, maybe brought over by, say, Elidibus or another. But I don't know for sure because, you know, we have ukulele over there in the source. Yes, I'm going to stick with that, Enki. Thank you.
It's so much easier.
And it's funnier. But, like, I'm curious if it's either, like, an assassin that has been drafted, as Crow may have, or as Crow said, or if it's, like, Elidibus or, say, another Warrior of Light of another shard and saying, hey, these guys are doing bad stuff. You need to prevent them from doing that. But then, you know, of course, we get that little bit in the 1.0 ending where, you know, oh, the happiness, it must come to an end. So it's obviously like, it can't be a Warrior of Light.
Yeah, I don't think it's an odd butt from another shard. I think because we all seem to be visually distinct. I'm sure like the different shards are all visually distinct from one another. So I'm guessing, like as Crow said, it's somebody whose body jumped him and now they're walking around in him like a meat suit and just being like, hey, I got your friend now, what are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
Except he's not smiley anymore, he's got that stupid smirk on his face. It's like, go home, we didn't like that crap in Heavenswood either, and we don't like it now, go away.
Yeah. And then of course the one thing we have to point out is Eden Raids. Obviously we get the not so grand bearded Ramu.
I know. They nerfed it. They nerfed his beard, man. I'm shook, and not in a good way.
Nerf the beard. Nerf the beard.
And he's got well, to be fair to Square Enix, he always had that big poofy robe on. There's no way you could tell how many legs he had under there. No way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, remembering Ixion and Ramu fused together, I mean, I guess both the fights were hard when they were on content.
Yeah, they were. And of course, we have the Garuda Ifrit fight. And this was pointed out by my raid team. They seemed to point out that Garuda was more beastie like, while Ifrit was more humanoid leaner.
Peoply.
So it's one of those like, what if moments? And I am kind of curious how that's going to play out. Obviously, they're not the same. But at the same time, they are the same.
But they are in the same fight, which is slightly terrifying. I'm just like, okay, so this is going to require two tanks keeping an eye on what they're doing.
Yep. I'm wondering if this is going to be like the Omega fight where you have to keep them apart. Otherwise, they get a buff.
Right. Mm. Or like with during early Hildebrand. Is it? I think it's early Hildebrand where he shows up with
Enkidu. Yep, Enkidu. And you have to attack one, and then, you know, yeah. There's so much that could possibly be going on. And then one thing I will point out, it does look like we are going to fight, not necessarily, and I just caught this for a brief moment, an element. Not necessarily the right element of darkness, but a representation. And you see it in the what looks to be the opening cutscene on top of Eden. Like, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to put words together there, Tilt. basically, like, you're entering video. Well, like, what dungeon you're in and stuff. That's what it looks like, because you see what looks to be, like, paper birds flying around.
Right.
And you're
clearly on top of Eden there.
Yep, you're clearly on top of Eden, and you see the element just sitting there, and of course, you're fighting it. And of course, Gaia has to be also loving and try to touch it, or not necessarily touch it, but
give it a
I don't know if she summoned it, or if she's like absorbing the dark energy from it.
Yeah, what is going on with that? That's slightly disturbing.
Yep, and of course you have a white, in one of the clips, you have a white side and a dark side.
Right.
And obviously I'm thinking of not necessarily, Sephiroth mechanics, where, you know, green's got to go forward while orange has to go back and vice versa.
Oh, God.
There's going to be a lot of dancing in this, it looks like.
No, the trailer is really interesting. There's a lot of stuff to think about in there, and like I'm sure we can just go ahead and just like spend the next couple of weeks dissecting it piece by piece and saying, okay,
next couple of weeks. This? Patch comes out tomorrow, or at least tomorrow as this podcast airs.
Oh, that is true. I don't know. I have no what year is this?
This is the year 2020. But not February 28th or 20, wow, February 18th.
Time is ruined for me. I have no idea what time is anymore. No. Yeah, there's a lot to dissect in that trailer. And I'm sure we'll figure everything out in short order if the patch really is coming out next week.
Yeah. So what's your take on this, Kuroa?
So I know that finding Rimu and Ifrit and Garuda is all part of that same process where we're trying to awaken the dormant elements in the empty, because Eden just shut everything down.
Right.
You know, the element is still there, it's just inactive, and so you have to activate it using the primals. Why we have to find Garuda at the same time, I imagine has something to do with the elemental qualities of their of individual aspects. Mm-hmm. Something to the effect, because I don't know, a really weird reference that I ended up like connecting with was a really obscure Vanu Vanu Beast Tribe quest where you have to gather wind-touched fire crystals.
And right.
It was such a unique concept to me at the time that it kind of stuck with me. So when I saw the two of them together, I immediately remembered these wind-touched fire crystals, and I'm like, so maybe wind and fire have some sort of like ethereal like resonance that in order to restore it to a realm, they have to be like
both at the same time
together. Yeah, something to that effect. And then after those, we do that, we're definitely going to be getting involved with Gaia, what her intentions are, who she is, why she's doing what she's doing. And she's either going to attack us or help us, or it's implied on the website that, yeah, it's implied on the website that her intentions are unclear, and something about, you know, can she fall, you know, can she fight the darkness in her heart? So we're probably going to have to end up facing her at some point again, and then returning to our previous, but with those three primals done, that would just leave the element of ice. So it's curious what that's going to entail. We're going to fight Shiva in the later patch, and then we're in the last set, and then finish off everything. But it's definitely going to bring in a lot more details of the concepts of light and darkness, the oracles, Eden itself, its role in the flood of light, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be really pretty sure it's going to have a lot of information. Everybody take notes, because I know I am. So,
of course you are.
Yeah.
So I'm going to admit this. I don't have any like actual live letter notes or translations. I just have what I was able to snap with my phone at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm not passed out and tired. So mm-hmm. I only have little snippets here of the live letter. I don't know what you guys have or if you watched it.
I just watched like some recaps earlier, because of course I wasn't awake to watch the actual thing itself. Hell no. There is a lot of it's beefy. Like that was a lot of information. It was a beefy live letter.
Mm-hmm.
I know they did go over some of the stuff that they had already gone over in like the part one of it, essentially, but the rest of it was all new or expanding on stuff that they hadn't expanded on before.
Yeah, they got to show us the videos. So he brought himself into the Ruby Weapon fight, and he kind of showed off some of the mechanics there.
Right.
That was pretty cool. Then aww. he showed us some of the mechanics for Rimu. He went into that fight, and it is definitely the Thunder Planes. There's no doubt about it.
So, I really cool. I noticed, like, and I'm just like, no.
Double the Final Fantasy X references in that fight with Ixion lower half. And I believe he got to show us the Beast Tribe as well. We got to go visit the Kitari,
where yes, they hang out. And see that mount. That's their mount, isn't it? It's the great worm of Ronka inside a barrel.
The great serpent of Ronka is tethered within the lore of the Qatari tribe, so that's exciting. We get to see our good buddy again. Fun fact, in the trailer they show the fruit of the protector, and that's actually where the original entity that created the great serpent of Ronka dwells within that crystal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's why that's significant. The fruit of the protector is a really unique, kind of ancient story of Roktika that, you know, it's built probably like a little bit of folklore, a little bit of truth. You know, they don't have really all the details behind it. But as far as I can remember, there was a giant serpent that was like terrorizing the land. And then the Ronkans created Loatzl. And I apologize if my Aztec sounding words are very bad. That's another language.
Yeah, we're sorry. Don't come for us.
So this giant of stone helped contain this serpent, and they sealed it within a cocoon of crystal. And essentially, by sealing it within crystal, it placated the beast, and then the beast made a pact to protect the people of Ronka, and that's where the forest came from. It, like, created the forest to protect the people of Ronka.
Okay.
The serpent's just like, oh, you made me this bougie house. I'm going to reward you by protecting you. Like, this pad is sweet. Look at all these walls. This goes everywhere. Love it.
Oh, yep. Did we lose Enki there?
There's a little bit of a...
Am I dead?
No, you're still alive.
Okay, yeah, I went red for a second.
Crow didn't sacrifice you yet.
Yeah,
oh! Oh, no, I totally spaced that. I'll tell it at the end of the podcast.
Right, we can go over that at the end.
Yeah, we'll keep going. Anyways, continue.
But, The cutest thing, definitely, though, that revealed the Qatari 100% was the little serpent of Ronka that was hiding on top of this, like, panel of wood, and it had a miner's hat on it that killed me.
It was
adorable. I know if you want to look it up, I think you type in, like, serpent of Ronka mining hat. I know my girlfriend took pictures of it. So it's somewhere on Twitter, but it's adorable. It's just sitting there with a miner's cap, wanting to be a little helpful serpent, you know, because everyone's like, you can see the Qatari in the background kind of mining and doing all sorts of like gathering stuff. So,
aww. So one of the other things that I noticed here is that you won't be able to move your markers during combat anymore, but you're getting an extra two numbers. So you're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4 and then A, B, C, D.
You can also, you'll be able to move them at the beginning of the battle when it's like before the pull, and you can save them. There's a function.
You'll have templates.
To basically save where they are. So at the reset of every battle, you can just press that button, and the system will automatically place them where they were prior to the wipe. So it was in response. So to note, and as it has riled the community a bit, I don't think we're going to get too deep into it, but
right.
Yoshi P did spend a good bit of the live letter condemning mods and condemning third-party software. And one of those things was the reports of people using preset waymark points. Like they had the third-party software that would do the waymarks for them.
Yeah. Right.
And because of that effect, because that was happening, Yoshida decided to implement this new, like, different version of the waymarks. That way people could have it all set up, save their settings, and then they can just reset it every match instead of
having... Yeah, because you could see it being used in the Alexander Ultimate clears. And
that was third-party software, and he was just like, no more mods, no more third-party software, please. Breaks TOS. So, you do with that as you will, but that's, you know, that was his thing. He did take a long time to go over that, so...
Right.
It was interesting.
They made their stance very clear on how they feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But and I do like the fact that they're putting the tool in. I don't necessarily like the fact that they removed it during combat, because situations can change, and sometimes you need to change waymarkers around. I'm wondering if you'll be able to do that with the presets or whatever, but it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you can set them up at the start of combat, and that's it.
Yeah, definitely have to see how that plays out when we get our hands on it. You know, give it a test drive.
People that raid, give it a test drive and then report back and
see how it works. Give us a lowdown, yeah. I believe... What else did they go over? Ooh, they're bringing back the diadem. That was cool.
Right, it's gatherer only. And you get gatherer LBs. You get to shoot rocket launchers at critters. Yeah.
So that rocket launcher in the trailer is an aetheromatic auger. And like Enki was saying, as you gather, you gain like an aetheromatic like generator. It just generates this ether for you. And after you gather a certain amount of ether, you can concentrate that into a tool and shoot the nearest monster for extra resources. And he was showing it off. It literally is a one shot, one kill, and your inventory just gets chock full with a bunch of stuff. It's pretty cool. So.
That is much better than the original diadem, as we talked about in the previous podcast. Diadem sucks.
Yeah, they are now making sure the monsters don't get to do anything, and I suppose, you know, I will have to say that I have to appreciate that, because it's like the monsters were the biggest part of it, the biggest issue of it.
Right, and just killing everyone instantaneously.
Killing everyone, and when they realized that diadem became more of a gathering resource after it phased out of popularity, they found a better use into bringing it in that feature, and so now you're going to be able to get a lot of stuff from it.
Right, and it's tied to Ishgard Resto, which is good. We'll see more stages for that, apparently, because we've just got the scaffolds up from phase one now, and I'm excited to see where they go with it. And they're improving some of the stuff with that, too, like adding more ways to get involved with the fate, and they're letting the gatherers in now, so everybody can level their gatherers that way.
They also have the Koopa Fortune
Scratch tickets.
Those are supposed to be for battle. So anyone that doesn't have a crafter or a gatherer and isn't interested in leveling those up can still contribute to the restoration by purchasing those. And what it looks like is that you get four slots to scratch from, and then each sticker that you get represents a specific reward. And the rewards look really tasty. From the two tickets he pulled, I saw an emote that was available for an item. There was a
bread. Music. It's the bread emote, isn't it?
The bread emote that he showed off. That's a scratch ticket reward. And then there are now Pisa minions, one for every crafter class. I saw a chef Pisa and a weaver Pisa. So
like everybody likes Pisa, and I'm just sat here like I hate them and that 1,000 yard stare. They're creepy, man. I'm pretty sure they're up to something.
Well, have you read? So this is a little off topic, but have you read the help text for the spell that you get from them?
No.
So you can get Chirp, right? Chirp is their AoE attack as a blue mage, right? And according to the lore of that spell, somehow the resonance at which they issue that sound from their mouths affects your senses so much that you start to perceive everything in the universe simultaneously to the point it puts you to sleep. That's literally the description, and I cackled at that. I was like, you're telling me these Pisces are making me perceive all of existence to the point where I pass out from misunderstanding? Like, I cannot perceive.
Terrifying. I knew there was a reason I didn't like him. No.
They're like, kill them all. If everyone's familiar with Rick and Morty, they're like the truth tortoise, you know.
Oh god!
Don't look into the truth tortoise eyes, you know.
Oh jeez.
I'm good with none of that. Pisces, get out. I'm sorry. It was bad enough when they had the housing appearances, and now I know this. I'm just like, don't want that. Don't want none of that at all.
I just now got to the part here about the weapons, and it's like I kind of expected it was going to be 2.5 when they come out with the weapons, because that's usually how they do it.
There's space out content to give. Well, now this time around, it's very, very curious. They gave us a warning. They said if we plan to do MSQ on the day of patch, do not plan to do anything else.
Yes.
Right.
Apparently MSQ is going to be that chunky that it's going to have that much content that you're not going to be able to play anything else. So either do MSQ or do the raids or anything like that, but definitely going to be a lot more people. So bear in mind, that definitely means, you know, if you're listening in on this episode and you hear this, there are going to be a lot of people that haven't done MSQ because a lot of people are going to go straight into raids. So spoiler alert, please don't go posting everything, all the crazy stuff from MSQ.
Yeah, don't go spoiling your friends.
Your Savage Raider friends are currently trying to progress. We don't want them to miss out on MSQ because they will not be able to put the time aside for MSQ if they're going to try to get world first. Therefore, if you're doing MSQ first, enjoy it, but do know that you won't be able to do anything else that day, and anyone else that is in progress won't be able to do it either. So,
yeah, and keep in mind, we won't post our talk about the MSQ for at least 2 weeks after.
Yeah.
So that seems about the right time.
That's a decent amount of time, I think.
It's a long enough time for everyone to have done it.
A good majority, bulk of it,
And of course, we'll still put our spoiler warnings for that and all those. Also mark it spoiler and put, you know, hey, don't touch this if you haven't completed. This is your last chance.
Right. We'll have plenty of trash to talk about in between, I am sure. We will find something.
Oh, yeah. We've got stuff planned. By the way, I'm also upset because I had planned for doing a D&D Final Fantasy session for our podcast. And then, of course, we just had the charity this last weekend and they did it on there. And it's like, well, you know, it went so well. I don't want to steal that from them. So I'm kind of just going to brush that underneath and see what they want to do with that and kind of decide off that.
Well, I'd be useless anyway. All I'd want to do is go around killing, maiming the NPCs or petting cats. It's just like, you just turn around and look at me like, why did we bother bringing her, to be honest?
And, you know, if Crow wants to bring them on to the podcast and do a D&D or continue their D&D session, I'm perfectly okay with that too, but we'll talk about that later. This is more content of 5.2.
We got weapons to talk about, not just for crafters, but for gatherers, and they grow with you. Thank goodness.
Skype.
Oh, yes. Don't get me wrong. I loved how the last couple patches, you can buy the weapons. And then, of course, you know, you buy the weapons, they're just small items. And of course, each patch you can upgrade them. And then the final patch comes out of the 0.5 series. And then it becomes unlockable via gathering all the stuff. I'm actually happy that they did it a different way this time.
I'm excited to see crafters and gatherers getting these because the Disciple of War and magic classes are the only ones who've had them, and they've been hogging it all to themselves, and the crafts and gatherers have been sat there like, but please, sir, can I have one? You know? And they've been largely ignored, but now they have it, and we can have weapons that grow with us as well, which is going to make things so good for people who are just I don't want to like pentameld everything.
This patch is unique in its sheer volume of content produced for crafters and gatherers this time around. You know, they're gonna be able to participate in their own relic quest series. They're gonna have, you know, the diadem specifically to them. They're adding ocean fishing, which is like a instance that pops every 2 hours for fishers to go on the boat.
Yes, fish raids.
Like you sail around Lenosity. We talked about this. Lenosha.
Nessie.
Sorry. Look, I don't speak French. I'm just gonna put that out there. So,
is it even French? I don't know. I don't feel offended by it, and I'm English, so
it's more so because of the elves and explorers that were with the original Sea Wolf.
No, it's true.
So, okay. there's a lot of French names you'll find in Limsa Lominsa, and it's because there was a bunch of elves and that they picked that the Sea Wolf had on the boat with them. Big old story, lore story for that, but. That's for a later day.
I'm excited to get on a boat with some friends and just fish.
And just fish and then increase your chances for a bigger haul. They updated the system's awareness of you hooking a fish. So instead of it just pulling on your rod now, they have exclamation points that appear above your head.
Yeah, way more interested. Yes! I'm so happy about it.
A lot more attention grabbing mechanics to let you know, hey, you got a fish, pull. So, really cool there.
Yeah, like a little quality of life update just to say, hey.
Just for all these. Yeah, we haven't forgotten, you know, at this point, all the crafters and gatherers. And
everybody's turned around and said, fishing is a pain in the butt. And Square Enix is like, you know what?
Now you got You're double right. the content to fix
we should
it.
Fix
you know? Yes, because you can fish in the diadem. It's the funniest thing because I recall, sky fishing, and you end up catching a bunch of pterodactyls and tornado sharks, which
cloud fishing is the weirdest thing.
Oh man, the one that gets me the most is the flying egg, because
what?
You can catch flying eggs. But what's really funny? It's not even called flying egg. It's like what is it? Buoyant oviform.
Yeah, buoyant oviform.
And basically the description of that is because the Eorzean scientists were so loath to call it a flying egg, they gave it a scientific name so it sounded cooler. But yeah, it's a flying egg. That's literally what it is.
I like that they have the tornado sharks in there though, just because of the reference to that.
Oh, it's a reference to the movie.
The god awful series of films, Sharknado. Fake named after it as well.
Mm-hmm. They say it was an Eorzean playwright that created that, musical version or a play version of that movie in world, and it was rated the worst production by the theater guild.
Oh my god! But I would have paid to see that. Like, take my gill, just give me that musical. I'll see if a Stage Reborn wants to do it.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
But I like that Fisher gets some love finally, because Fisher does get dunked on a lot compared to the other two. Because it's with like mining and stuff, you can kind of just sit there and like let your brain wander. With fishing, you have to constantly be aware of what you're doing. So it was a little less relaxing.
Yeah.
And you had all of the stuff tied to weather conditions in A Realm Reborn, which everybody hated.
Like, yes.
Hands down, everybody disliked this.
Mine is 52 currently.
At the time of this recording. None of it was fun. Like, none of it. None of it was enjoyable. I pushed myself through that in Stormblood because I had to.
I do want to point out one thing I do like about some of these new relic crafting weapons. The frying pan has a dragon in it.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I like that they're adding little details like that. And I want to know more about Badger. I'm Badger, like the city of Badger or whatever it is. But Badger Citadel. I'm Baldessian? Never going to pronounce it right. I'm so sorry.
Baldessian?
No. The crafting stuff is all relating to the... why do I always forget them? Like, they're the best. The Hrothgar. Like, it's related to the... I'm pretty sure... Am I getting this right, Kra? Like, is
that... Wait, the crafting weapons or the...
Right.
So the crafting and gathering relics are actually tied to the Sky Steel Manufactory. It's still tethered within the Ishgard content. But, the Hrothgar, the one that's connected to the Hrothgar, the battle class weapons. But basically, the relic series of Shadowbringers is tied to the Hrothgar homeland.
Okay, so. I just got them mixed up then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're having two relic series introduced to us this patch cycle, so...
Woo!
That's good. Everybody gets hugs. Everyone!
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Crow, you said something about... Excuse me there. Whew. You said something about umbrellas in the last chat. Like, people were wondering what it was.
Yeah.
I was not expecting what they did.
Added actual umbrellas.
For the sake of... They've been working on them for 3 years.
Which, I don't know. I don't know. That's one of those things, and Yoshida tends to do this, where he'll add some sort of like quality of life implementation into the game that I had no idea I needed, but like I'm like, hey, this actually looks really cool or something.
Yeah, look,
like that.
And my FC house is in Gridania.
Yeah, I know for a fact there are going to be so many amazing screenshots with umbrella photos. You know, everyone was already talking. K
kissing under the umbrella, sharing the umbrella with her friend, you know, all these cool things that we're going to see, dancing with the umbrella in the rain. We'll see all these cool photos. It's just going to be adorable. Twitter's going to be pretty for a little bit. We'll see, you know. But it's just so random because absolutely no indication that this was going to come about. And then, boom, umbrellas? Umbrellas? What do you mean umbrellas? And that's all he says about it. No context. Then come next patch. His Lalafell's literally holding an umbrella. We're like, huh. It's an umbrella. Like, he's just...
just the fact that they have so much cool stuff attached to them. Like, they actually cast shadow. They protect you from the rain. I'm like... They had to use like they couldn't just make it an item. They had to add it. They had to use mount data for it.
They said the Viera gonna have to hold it above their ears. So that's gonna be funny. There's gonna be like
arm strain. Ow.
That's like I don't know how that's gonna work out. But yeah, I think each race has a unique umbrella holding
style. Pose.
So it's just a really.
That's some cool
well-developed, really well-developed random quality of life thing for photos and art roleplay and, you know, anyone want to walk down
the Isn't this why everyone loves Yoshi P, though? Like, occasionally, yeah, just, you're just, you know, everyone's like, you know, I'm pretty happy with this game, and then suddenly he's just like, here, have a thing, and we're like, oh, here, we did not know we needed that thing, but we have it now.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Ugh. It's just, I don't know what else to think of on that.
So much stuff. So chonky.
I mean, and then like, so we have that the new dungeon that's coming out that looks very eerie. Lots of really crazy stuff going on with that. That's going to be out. Then we mentioned earlier with the traditional relic weapons. That's going to be tied to a whole new quest series, which they noted that the quest itself is going to be separate from the relic progression, so you're not going to be held back waiting for the next bit of story while you're grinding out whatever you need to grind, whatever crystal, whatever they want you. So that's actually really neat, because then us who are trying to understand how Bajda is back, because it was kind of implied that it was utterly destroyed back in the day, so now the curiosity of what is it doing back or why is it back. You know, we get those that want to learn about that will be able to do so without having to wait for their crystals to all drop.
Yeah, they're not getting the lore.
So all the lore and stuff. they did say you have to complete Return to Ivalice before you start any of this.
Right.
So what I'm hearing is that we're going to probably host just the podcast style raids through Crystal, Primal, and Aether.
You want us to go do the old raids? An idea to do the raids that way people can catch up if they haven't had the opportunity to do those yet. And
I've done them and I love those raids. Like, I genuinely love them, and I'm just some of those, like, glam items too.
So as of yesterday, Vagrant Story is on its 20th anniversary, right?
And
for those who don't know what Vagrant Story is, it's a game that Matsuno made for the PlayStation that it's set in the Ivalice canon, but it's an entirely different like area, entirely different lore, and it makes a lot of references to tactics, but no one's been able to really connect the games. They just know it's in the same universe. And somehow Square Enix Yoshida was able to gain the permission to put references to Vagrant Story in Final Fantasy XIV. So there's actually we were able to hear not just one, but two name mentions of heroes from Vagrant Story in Final Fantasy XIV. And then they have the major cities in that area are named after cities in Vagrant Story. So it's pretty cool. That's all tying together because, as you saw in the trailer, Makoto is there, and she's from the Ivalice Raids. Right. I imagine that's why Cid is there. He's probably going to be helping. Usually,
and not dying.
Anything related with that, and not dying, or, you know, something's messed up. But and it's going to be describing Bajda's attempt at revolution and liberation, just like the previous nations before it, because
it's trendy Alamigo, now.
Alamigo and Doma basically started, you know, the shot heard around the world.
very similar to when the American Revolution completed, every other nation went into revolution. It's the same concept. We have now it's Bajra's turn, and it looks like they're going to be enlisting the help of Rabanaster at some point, because we see Rabanaster in the trailer as well. So
it's going to be so cool. I want to get into it now.
Lots of cool stuff. I'm super excited. All the connections.
I don't know if the editorial team actually listens to this, but everybody that does listen to this, just go to the Aether Flow Media's Twitter and be like, Evilise Raid teams, please, please. Come on, we want Crow to lead us to battle.
Come on my team and res me.
As I just like engage in several reams of discussion about the nature of the Lukavi, you know, just like trying to figure that all out.
Yeah.
That's a big old puzzle.
So, I don't know what else we could talk about, because we are running short on time and I don't want to start something, but yet don't want to leave it unfinished.
So many things! we're spoiled. Basically, like, all I gotta say after seeing these two live letters is that we're spoiled. Mm. We are genuinely spoiled, and we will not want for things for some time, I don't think. It's a little terrifying to think that we are nearly at the halfway mark for this expansion, and that come FanFest, because of course we've got the dates now and the location, that's where they're going to announce the new expansion. It's just like, are we there already? But Shadowbringers just came out.
It's been almost a year since it came out. It's just unreal.
It's been too good.
Yes. So last podcast, I was evil. I posted and put Croatoan on the spot. And I have the results. Everybody knows the answer now. Are you ready for the answer there, Croa?
Yeah.
I'm so ready for this. Yes!
So, in total, there was only 32 votes, which is still good. Actually, that's a lot more votes than I thought we were going to get, to be honest.
I thought we were just going to get my vote, and that would be it.
So, Croy, I have to ask, did you vote in this?
I did not.
Okay.
I decided to keep it open for everyone else.
I was going to say, if you voted no, if you were the one vote for no, it's just like, oh, we know who this is.
Yep. But surprisingly, somebody did vote no. So no is obviously the lowest number, and it is at 9.4% out of the 32 votes that Croatoan is not an Assassian.
That's not true.
I'm not an Assassian?
That you're not.
Okay.
So, with that being said and out of the way, obviously you're an Assassian.
Wait.
34.4% of them are saying that you are just an Assassian, but it doesn't say who.
Just a regular old Assassian, I guess. Like, nothing fancy. You don't get no title or nothing.
Yeah.
So, but the fans have spoken. You are hands down Elidibus.
Oh my goodness.
It's confirmed. It is confirmed. Croton is Elidibus. Like, to be fair, we knew. We're woke. We knew. We've been knowing this from the beginning. It's like, where do you get all that lore, Croa? Where's it coming from? Where do you find all this? Do all of us have access to this? Probably not. Yeah, you're obviously like a millions of years old super being.
Well, according to Moose, I now have to change my name in Discord, so...
Right.
It's only for a week, right?
I think so, but I mean, I suppose...
It's just a week. We don't have to change it permanently.
Yeah, since the fans have spoken...
I feel like to follow this up, we need to do the script on the Assians as a whole, just so Croa can let loose and tell us everything about his people.
Oh, there is a podcast for that, because I know we're going to go into like each of the, because it's not their names, it's actually a rank, right?
Yeah, it's a title of office.
Okay,
this is a title of office.
Yeah. A title of office. So I'm pretty sure one of the podcasts will end up going into each and every, well, not everyone, because there's like some that we don't even know of, but at least going over the ones.
Huh? Isn't he a diplomat? Isn't Elidibus the diplomat or speaker?
Emissary. He tries to keep the middle ground between the forces of light and darkness. So he balances between the two.
Tilp's wonderful upbeat nature in my shade. This makes all the sense.
Oh wow.
There must be balance in all things.
The tea is hot.
It's still hot after this whole cast.
Well, yeah, I put it in one of those thermos things. I don't want to get it cold. Nobody likes drinking stale tea, and I don't like spilling stale tea either. So, come on, if we're going to spill tea on all of those glorious things that they talked about in the live letter, like, it has to be hot. It has to be piping hot. Burn my face hot. And I did burn my face twice, just like I burned my face watching all of that stuff over and over again.
It's okay. Both Enki Dillenthorn and I are going to get our turns on the spot, so... Oof.
Yeah, shade me. I'm ready for it. I'm absolutely ready to be red to filth. Destroy me.
But we'll find out all that laters, because obviously... It was just on a whim, and of course Enki just kind of blurted it out in the last podcast, and I just went with it and just put it on Twitter.
I have amazing ideas sometimes. I can't fault myself. Crow's just sat there in the background like, oh my god, somebody kick her out, please.
Well, anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoyed this. It's a little bit different, kind of going over the news. Kind of a chill cast. Let us know how we did. Obviously, it was a mess because, one, we don't have a script for this, and we're just kind of going off of stuff.
Sometimes. Like, we got to have our time to be able to fangirl.
We play the game, too.
This was ours. Yeah, we play the game, too, and we love the game. That's why we do this.
Spoilers, Tilps is going to be late on his 5.2 content again.
Oh, my God.
No.
Absolutely not. Do that. Not allowed. Banned. Absolutely banned. I will not allow it. I'm telling Serene.
That distorts the balance. How dare you distort the balance?
Right? Oh, technically, though, isn't it balance if one of us has done the content and the other one hasn't?
Oof.
You know. Isn't that equilibrium?
Oh, come on. No, you got it. No.
No, do help. I'm not absolving you. Do the content, because it's not going to be Crow and me kind of sat there talking while you're still completing. It's just like, how many cutscenes do you have to go now, Tilp? They're really, really long. We'd really like to go home now. It's like 6 a.m. and we've been here for 12 hours while you're completing all this content.
Recording this whole episode as you're going through the content?
No. No.
Don't worry. I will save you guys the trouble. I will go through it. And I'll probably live stream it on Aether, so that way I have proof.
Just that as well, because you'll lose all your free meals.
Oh no, not my free meals. But anyways, again, thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful evening. And until next time, guys, we wish you all a wonderful eve.
Bye.
Bye.
AetherStream is part of Aetherflow Media, a community-based project with a focus on Final Fantasy XIV. Aside from this podcast, we produce web content and our magazine, Aetherflow. And if you like what you see and hear, consider joining our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/aetherflowmedia. All funds go towards providing you with the best possible content that we can create.